Extry, tell all about it. It's Dave's Big Dictionary. Here in the neighborhood in Greeley, Colorado, I'm Dave Lefkowitz. The program, our 647th episode of the show, we called it Dart Board, and we're almost done, but not quite. I almost wish we were, because past couple of weeks we've had a dry spell when we had such good words for a while of Dave's Big Dictionary. Early in the show, my wife or I will thumb through this 75,000 definition Merriam-Webster dictionary and pick a word at random. Just, you know, go with a finger, boom. And then I have to think of something to talk about for 5 minutes or so. Maybe a story from my past, maybe something that pops into my head, and just talk about that word. Now, some of the words that we've had when we first started doing this segment 3 months ago, they included defile, nocturne, snobbery, spleen, that was a good one, ultra, bottom, chlorate. Last week, though, we got hit with erythrocyte. That was a fun one. And now, this time, my wife's finger lands on a simple word, a word with tremendous possibilities, if only it had moved a little bit up the page, because the word that she chose was down, D-O-W-N, down. But she's holding me to not using any version of the word down, because her finger fell on one particular definition. And it's the sixth definition down, the one that is a rolling, treeless upland with sparse soil, usually used in the plural, as we would say, of like Churchill Downs or Watership Down, in those terms. Or if it made me instantly think of that marvelous Van Morrison's and the Chieftains album, the Star of the County Down. Right, okay. I've been to Ireland, but I don't know if this is the time for an Ireland story, because, you know, I always tell my Seamus the Urine Man story. So no, I won't go there for down or downs. And again, I'm not going to say use all these other definitions that I possibly could for that. But what it did make me remember or think about a little bit, because this is going back 40 to 45 years or so, was being New Yorkers that my family was. We lived in Brooklyn and then moved to Long Island. But one of the things that we would do for fun that my dad enjoyed doing was either going to the track or using OTB. And then, you know, this is sparked in my mind from Churchill Downs, which is where the Kentucky Derby, of course, is held. Now, I never went... I was going to say, I've never been to the Kentucky Derby, but that is not true. That is not true. Thanks to the American Theater Critics Association, a few years back, we all went to the Actors Theater in Louisville and did a little bit of tourism, and they took us to Churchill Downs on a morning. There was no racing going on. It was not that yet that time of year, but it was kind of cool to walk around and see where the horses ran and see where the women normally would be wearing those big bonnets and things and the winner's circle. That was neat. I don't have any interesting stories about it. I can just say, hey, I was there, not on Kentucky Derby Day, as the Rolling Stones would have paraphrased it. Anywho, but it did make me think of horse racing, which has never been a big thing of mine, just never got too into it. But I know that we did go to Aqueduct a few times when I was a kid. And I think they had one time harness racing at the Preakness, or there was another New York racing place. And if any of our New York listeners on Facebook can remember what the hell it was, maybe it was called the Preakness, but there's Aqueduct, and then there was, help me out here, the other place that people would go. Well, okay, so do I have any memories? So I just remember being at the actual racetrack with my dad and standing on the line waiting for dad to place the bet and then coming back and then watching the horses go around. It was kind of a fun event. I sort of liked it. Even though I never got into gambling, never really got into horse racing, there was kind of this nice way that the afternoon goes. You stand in line for a few minutes. It isn't like Disneyland, for you're there for 45 minutes because people have to clear their bets very quickly. So you do that, you get up, you walk around, you have smelly nicotine-stained fingered men all around you. You come back, you sit, and you watch a pretty exciting race of beautiful animals going around a green or a brownish track. It's pretty. It's one of the reasons baseball is such a harbinger of spring. Because it isn't just the players and the game itself and hitting the ball and what might happen. It's also the open air. You're looking at this beautiful field and the mounds and the white bases. And it's just, it makes you think of renewal in some weird way. And watching horses go around and around the track. I don't want to get into whether they're mistreated or whether they're given drugs or what the jockeys do to themselves to make sure they maintain weight. I don't want to get into the negativity of that. For 2 minutes, it's beautiful to watch horses try and win a race, right? And then that's over. You got the adrenaline rush. And then you have a little while to kind of calm down, tear up your tickets if you lost. And I also remember just thinking, what a cool thing that show is in racing. Because everybody would go broke, and it wouldn't be as much fun if they just had win, right? Or even place. But this idea that you've got maybe 9 or 10, 12 horses on a field, and you could place a low-level bet for show, and you had a real shot. Maybe a 30, 25% shot of getting your money back. Didn't have to win a pile, but you could pay $2, right? And you get a 25% chance of at least making that back in another couple of dollars. Because we weren't inveterate gamblers. We're just a middle-class family looking to have a little fun. So if you put down $2 and you get back 5 or 8, that kind of makes your day. You know, you have one race that pays for your entire afternoon. That's a win, man. It's like my mother-in-law loves the lotto tickets. I wish she didn't, but she loves playing lotto. So if we'll get her as a gift, we'll get her some lotto tickets here and there. And if she just makes enough, if she scratches off a $1 lotto ticket, And gets a dollar back. To her, that's a win, as opposed to a push. Because she didn't lose anything. And she had the excitement, the fun of wondering, hey, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. Oh, it isn't. But I didn't lose. I didn't, the dollar that went out came back in. Okay. And of course, she'll immediately spend another dollar. Fine. So that's her thing. And I get that with playing for show. Because you have these three shots. Your horse can come in first, second, or third. And we always wanted to play that, unless you had a really special horse. That was the thing for me and Mom and Dad. It wasn't about, oh, this horse is an amazing favorite, or, oh, we have a tip from a bookie named Gino. No, it was more like if there was a horse named Farfel, we would put like $3 or $5 on to win. And there was a horse like Passover, or named after Lester's Chance, or Esther's Joy. Oh, well, hey, it's a family name, David's something, Philip's this, Brenda's that. Absolutely, gotta pick that horse, probably to win, unless the odds were absolutely ridiculously against it. Or something Jewish, Israel was in the name, or if the jockey had a Jewish name by some miracle. It's like, okay, got him, that one. That's the horse. We gotta really root for that one. Yeah, that was fun. It was just fun. And I don't remember OTB being much fun at all. I remember that being more like a DMV, just standing around. A DMV where they're smoking and ash on the floor. I mean, everything you touched was kind of, they're like a cab stand for people who were never smiling. Right. No, I never felt unsafe, or I never felt like it was an unsavory place. We didn't really go at night. But if sometimes I wanted to put some money down at OTB and have that experience. You could watch the TV there, physically there. It wasn't the same, though. It's just, and then for those, by the way, maybe people don't even know what this is. I don't know if they even do it in New York anymore. But OTB stood for off-track betting. So it'd be this hole-in-the-wall little storefront that dozens of guys would go in. You'd never find a woman there, but dozens of guys would go into to make and place bets just the way that they would at the track. And then they could stand around, watch a TV of the horse race after they placed their bets. And literally, it's like going to the track, but you could do it in the middle of Brooklyn or Manhattan. And I remember the green awning of the place as well. I don't know if I'm calling up memories of any folks who lived in New York. If I did, feel free to message me or write me during the week. But when I think of the word down or downs in terms of rolling land, sparse, treeless, even then, even though that doesn't sound like a beautiful grassy knoll, it's still about as far away from OTB as you can get. But it did make me think of horses, and I guess in the modern day, at least from the definition, what I now think of is marmots and prairie dogs, which are one of my favorite things ever, where if we're going to the local mall and want to stop in TJ Maxx or Kohl's or the Target that they have there, and they've got these open fields that the earth is very sandy and rocky and not conducive that much to grass. And what will happen is, certain times of year, just dozens of holes appearing almost overnight. And then the heads pop out of the holes, and they're like squirrels, but, and I've talked about this before on the show, squirrels are fine, but I grew up with squirrels. We saw squirrels, tons of squirrels in Brooklyn, or visiting Manhattan, Washington Square Park, and we had bunches of squirrels on Long Island in our backyard and on the streets and in the trees, but prairie dogs, which are essentially tailless sort of squirrels, they're more rat-like squirrels, but they're so cute, and I can just sit there or stand there and watch them from afar for minutes at a time, just poking their little heads. Or if they see me and they get nervous and they want to alert the other prairie dogs around them that there's a lunatic Jew running around, their tail starts to flap and they go, meep, 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 meep. They make this cheeping, annoying, chirping noise. And yet it's still all so incredibly cute. And I'll walk towards them and try and approach them. And it's always that game of how close will they let me get. So one will be on top of his little hole, his dugout hole. And he'll be all the way standing up. Soon as he notices me, whoop, goes down, you know, gets right into the hole, just to the neckline. Beep, 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 beep. I get closer and closer, and then there's always that one little moment when I take one step too much, and then, zhoop, down the hole, gone. And if you approach the hole, you cannot see them, because it's so subterranean, and the burrows run all through for, like, miles underneath this down land, if you will, downs of land. And actually, all you see if you approach some of the prairie dog holes is poop, is you see their fecal droppings lining the rim. Because, hey, they're fairly clean rodents. They don't want to shit where they live, so they do it right around the edge so visitors can enjoy it. But I do love them, even though they are, of course, a nuisance locally. And I'm sure they're terrible on farms and ranches where there are horses and cows, because those holes come up and the animal isn't looking. That's a broken leg, and it's just awful. But, when I think of downs now, of rolling treeless land with sparse soil, my cute little prairie dog friends, and also the skeezy men at the OTB, and fun times at Aqueduct back when I was a kid. And that is Dave's Big Dictionary for this Saturday, April 7th, 2018.